now because I might forget later. I forgot in first service. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. Who's ready for it? No one's ready for it. One person. All right, we're going to your house. All right, you ready for a bad joke? Here we go. Fun fact, this is science, not really. Koi fish always travel in groups of four. If attacked, koi A, B, and C will scatter, leaving behind decoy. Free feel to share. You will not know this name, and that's okay. His name was Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher in England. He taught an all-boys Sunday school class, and they were all teenagers. And in that class, he had a 17-year-old boy who was forced to go to church by his uncle. And this boy had not accepted Christ yet, but he seemed very attentive in class. And something tugged at Edward Kimball's heartstrings for this young man to reach out to him and to share the gospel and hopefully convince him that he needs to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Well, this young man, he was a shoe store clerk after school. And on April 21st, 1855, the Sunday school teacher visited the store to convince the 17-year-old young boy that he needs to accept Jesus Christ. And on that day, Dwight L. Moody accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That name might be a little more familiar. Dwight L. Moody, he's got Bible colleges spread out all across the United States. And that day, he made a commitment to God that he would try his best to share Jesus with at least one person every day for the rest of his life. And by the time that Dwight L. Moody died, tens of thousands of lives were impacted for Christ, all because a Sunday school teacher visited a 17-year-old at a shoe store and shared Christ. And that's all because of the obedience to the command to go and make disciples. And that's what we're going to talk about today, sharing our faith. And I know how you can feel. That seems a bit intimidating, but I'll tell you what, it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk sharing the faith that you know that you have, but you know that this person does not. Evangelism can be a bit frightening. Maybe you want to share what impact Christ has had for you with somebody at work, but you're afraid you might become that fanatical at work, or maybe with a friend, but you feel it might become a little awkward, and that might, it could hurt the relationship, not make it better, or it could be with a family member, but you think, I don't know if I should do this because it might create some friction within a family dynamic. You know what? Satan hates the idea that you would even think to do this. And he hates it even more when you actually do so. And he tries to confound our mind and implant excuse after excuse as to why I shouldn't do this or I can't do this. We come up with these excuses. You know, a guy like me and the kind of life I live, I'm probably the last person that should be sharing Jesus, right? Or I don't know enough. I have a lack of knowledge. Someone else would be better off doing this than me. And so we shrink back and we cower to Satan's lies and we don't follow through with his command. But however, we are demanded. We are, as a Christian, if you claim Christ, then Jesus, he did it two different times. He demands that we share our faith. But then we say someday, but not today. And that someday, like CCR said, never comes. And we just keep kicking the can down the road, and we don't share our faith. We've been talking about Teddy Roosevelt's speech back from 1910 about the man in the arena, that we need to step into the arena of our Christian faith. And the challenge this morning is to step into the arena of sharing our faith. We need Christians in the arena. And is there enough action when it comes to sharing our faith? That is a big no. There are some things you can do too much of, right? But you can never do too much sharing your faith. Do it as often as you can. This is just flat out a statistic. The longer you're a Christian, the less likely you are to share your faith. The longer you follow Christ, I think what happens, we become very comfortable with where we're at in our position with God. We trust our salvation because God does not lie. And we settle into that, and then we start to fail to share our faith. And I don't think it's out of rejection. I don't think we as Christians sit around and just reject the thought of sharing our faith, but it gets neglected. It gets neglected because we just don't have it as a priority, and it kind of gets put up on a shelf. Kind of like an old tool that you put up on the shelf in the garage, and you don't use it, you don't work with it, and what happens? It rusts up because of neglect. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, this is Jesus talking here. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And boy, did he ever. Whether it was with the masses or just one-on-one conversations. He made it a point to share hope. Jesus is a pretty lofty example. I mean, he was perfect. He's 10 out of 10, as we talked last week. Let's look at an everyday average guy, just a fisherman, blue-collar kind of guy. We don't know a lot about him in the Gospels, but we know enough to know he was willing to share his faith. His name was Andrew. He's more commonly known as Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. This poor guy, almost every time his name is brought up, it's always, this is Andrew, his brother. As if you should know him and he's attached to him. Any of you have siblings and you felt that that was your position in the family? And that's where Andrew was set up. He's kind of like the Jeb Bush of the family, right? So Andrew, he was especially good at one-on-one and bringing people to Jesus. And so this morning, we got a three-point message. Three fields to plant in. Field number one, plant seeds with your family. Boy, this can be difficult. This can be maybe one of the most difficult seeds to plant. Because within the family, if you feel that you have been led by God to share your faith with a family member, it can get a little awkward, be a little intimidating. Well, let's go back to the first time they meet Jesus. John chapter 1, verses 40 and 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two. See, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, from the very get-go, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And so Andrew has been talking to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, his role was to point who? To Jesus. People to Jesus. And that's what he did. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. He didn't have to do that. There had not been a command to evangelize yet. But the first thing he did was go find a family member. He went and found his brother to share that we found the Messiah. And then later in this ministry that they followed Jesus for 3.5 years, there was no hint of jealousy from Andrew. That it seemed that Peter kind of rose in the ranks among the 12. He was just there to point people to Jesus. The people you love the most, that you can have the most difficult time sharing with them. It's weird that it's that way, but it just is. I've learned that from my own experience. It's just a different dynamic. And so I think rather than just boldface coming up and saying something, show by example day by day. If you show your faith by example day by day, I think that will bring down the wall of awkwardness and create an avenue for you to have a conversation and share. Let them see how it is that your faith has shaped you. When they see you travel through a certain season of life, they might scratch their head and think, how are they doing that? And that might open the door for questions, and then you can respond. And in that, ask a few questions and then zip it and just sit and listen. Because they're wanting to be heard. They just haven't had that person to listen to them. And here's the thing that is so hard with family. Is you want that person saved so badly. You're responsible for the invitation, but you are not responsible for their decision. And you want them to make that decision so badly. You know what's on the line. It's heaven or hell, right? And you want them to make that decision. But once you sow that seed, then it's between them and God. And you just keep them in your prayers. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before Jesus ascends to heaven, he says, you know what, guys? You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's he saying? It starts at home. It starts at home, and it's going to expand from there. But share with your family. Field number 2, plant seeds with friends and acquaintances. You might remember the feeding of the 5,000. Let's read a little bit of that story. John chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother again, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" You know, Andrew could have looked at the kid's lunch and thought, a few morsels of bread, 2 fish sticks, all these, thanks, but no thanks. This is just insane. It's not going to help anything. It'll feed a few people and everybody else is going to get him angry, right? You have a bunch of jealous people that are hungry because he's got a few people that got to eat, but not all of us. But there's something different about Andrew. By this point, he must have knew Jesus can make something out of nothing. And so he invites the boy to meet Jesus, and then this miraculous thing takes place. We need to learn that truth. We need to learn that truth that small things in the hands of God can become big things. We try to make big things out of small things. That's not our role. And we just bring people to Jesus. And that's when Jesus gets hard to work. And if you've ever had someone share their faith with you, I want you to know this. If you've had a friend share their faith with you, that is one of the highest compliments you can receive. Because they're sharing with you life-changing and life-saving information. That is a very high compliment if someone has ever shared their faith with you. And so we got to scatter these seeds generously with family and with friends. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Give them an answer. Could you sit and write down why it is you have the hope that you do? And say it in less than 1 minute. I think that'd be a good assignment. If you want to take sharing your faith seriously, this command we're given, write it out and practice saying that in less than 1 minute. We're not called to answer all their questions. We're not called to be the judge and the jury of their life. What does Peter say? Have an answer for the hope that you have. Be able to share that. And then at the end of that verse, he says, you do this, however, with gentleness and respect. And if you do that, that's a recipe for sharing your faith. And you might go to work. You might have some coworkers you consider friends, but you look at them, you examine their life, and you think, it's probably not even worth a try with the way they live. I've said this before. People are not the enemy, but they are the victims of the enemy. And we as a Christian, we can get really good at pointing out the weeds and stop planting seeds. Like, elbow somebody. Look at them. What a failure at life. You tell things about other people. What you're doing is you're pointing out the weeds. And you're not spreading any seeds. And what are we called to do? We're not called to be the judge and the jury. We're called to be seed scatterers, so that God can get to work in people's lives. And I've wrestled with this question this week to myself. How many people have I written off? How many people, would you be honest with yourself, how many people have you written off? We all do it. Something's got to change. If we want to see a change in our community, in your workplace, at your home, something's got to change. And that change is stepping into the arena of sharing your faith. Not being up in people's faces, but taking it seriously. You know, the world is not our home, it's our assignment. We're only here for a short time. If you have faith and you've been saved, why would you not want to share that with a loved one, a family member, a friend? You know, God doesn't live in the past. God did not call Moses to tell him to call me, I was. What did he tell Moses his name was? He said, I am. What does that mean? That God is in the present and he is in the future. And he wants to point us towards sharing our faith. This week, could you give God a chance? Could you say a good thing about God to one person this week? What a difference that might make. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul writes this, and he says, I planted the seed. That's Paul saying that about himself. Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So Paul, what's he saying here? He's saying, I was a seed scatterer. Apollos, he was a seed waterer. And God needs people willing to scatter the seeds of their faith, but then he needs other people to come in behind them to do a little extra work. Continuing to encourage them, to teach them, to answer some questions for them, and just keep watering that seed, and then God is the one that starts to make it grow. Anybody remember the movie The Wizard of Oz? I remember as a kid, it used to come on TV every spring, along with The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. That was a long time ago. I'm old. But The Wizard of Oz, you know, the whole thing with this story, she's trying to find the wizard. She's traveling through Oz, and she makes three friends, right? You guys remember the friends? There was the Scarecrow. What was his issue? Needed a brain. There was the Cowardly Lion. Well, he had no courage. He was scared of everything, right? And then there was the Tin Man, and he needed a heart. When we fall short of sharing our faith, we fall in those three ways. You think about the Scarecrow, we might make the excuse, well, I just don't know enough. That's more for the Sunday school teachers, the elders, the preacher, people that know the Bible. And we'll make that excuse, I just don't know enough. Or maybe we're like the Cowardly Lion. We don't have the courage to do it. We're scared. We're frightened. Or maybe we're like the Tin Man. We don't have a heart. We don't have a heart for people. We're apathetic. We don't feel for the needs of other people. I'm covered. I gave my life to Jesus. So I'm good. And we just don't have a heart for other people. You know, God moves in the little ways. We think God moves in these monstrous, like miraculous things in life. God can move in small ways to accomplish big things. And you should never underestimate one small seed and the impact one small seed could make. That English Sunday school teacher shared one seed, and that seed multiplied tens of thousands of times over. Field number 3, plant seeds with strangers. In John chapter 12, verses 20 and 21, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. And for the Israelite people, they had festivals all the time. They celebrated a lot of stuff. And these Greeks were philosophical people, and they'd probably heard enough about Jesus. They wanted to catch some of his philosophy. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. And you'd think Philip, by this point, like, you do? Let's go. But that's not what he does. In verse 22, Philip went to tell Andrew. And Andrew got him, he's not attached to his brother in this verse. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Andrew was just like the natural instinct. They must have just looked at Andrew and thought, we got a one-on-one here, we got to get Andrew involved. And these guys are total strangers, and Andrew's not hesitant. They literally went and got Jesus. I don't know if Andrew would have a headstone. I wonder if it'd read, he always brought people to Jesus. Would you like that to be on yours? I think the lesson here is to be approachable. When it comes to complete strangers, sometimes we can put off the disposition of, I don't want to be around that person. We need to try to be approachable so that people would feel comfortable. And that's what Peter said, or Paul said, do this with gentleness and respect. You've got to have that recipe if you're going to share with strangers. And the thought is this, can you truly be a Christian if you never share your faith? It's kind of a slap in the face. But can you truly call yourself a Christian if you're unwilling to share your faith? Because there is one command that we were given, and that was to go and make disciples. And we can't make disciples if we don't share our faith. And that's what God cares about the most, His Son being made famous throughout the world to change people's lives. And so the question is, are you in the arena of sharing the hope that you have? And there's going to be mild rejection. But what's the worst that could happen? Literally, what? There'll be some mild rejection, there'll maybe be some hurt feelings, but what's the worst that could honestly happen? There's a story about a man who went into a church to interview for the janitorial job. He sat down before the board and they asked questions of him. And at the end, they all unanimously agree, this is the guy we need to hire. And so they slid across a piece of paper and handed him a pen and said, we need to fill this out. And the guy said, well, there's one thing you need to know about me. I can't read or write. And so the board discussed and they came back and said, well, it won't work out. And as he was leaving, the preacher had a bushel of apples and said, hey, would you want these apples? And the guy said, yeah, I'd love to have them. The next day, he set up a card table and a chair on the street corner, and he sold those apples one by one. And he took that money, and he went and bought more apples. Before he knew it, he built a little stand, and he was selling all sorts of fruits. And all the money he made, he would continue to go and buy more and more and expand it and expand it. One day, he walked into the local bank with a briefcase, asked to see the head banker, and got him into the office, and he sat down, and he said, I want to open a savings account. He said, I got $1 million in this briefcase. The banker just couldn't believe it, so he set it up on his desk, and he opened it, and there before him were stacks of $100 bills. And the banker's eyes got that big. He said, all right, well, let's get you set up here. And he slid across a piece of paper, and he said, just fill out this form. And he said, well, I can't read or write. And the banker just couldn't believe it. And he said, do you know where you could be if you could read and write? He said, yeah, the janitor at the church down the street. people aren't put off by a Christian that doesn't know it all. But they will be turned off by a know-it-all. You don't have to know it all. God is always looking for the willing. Are you willing to step into the arena? We're not meant to be a salesman for Christ. We're called to be a witness. And what do witnesses do? They testify the truth. They share what they know. And that's what we're called to do, and that's what we're called to be. Roberta Kuhn wrote, let's give them what so few people will, our time, our hearts, our listening ears. I have discovered that that people most often come to love us before they love our Savior. I said, that's so true. For many, many people, you'll have to build trust with them before they'll trust with what you have to say. And so this idea of sharing your hope, sharing your faith, it's going to be an investment. It's going to take some time and effort, but it's willing. If you're willing, it's worth it. There once was a fiery preacher who felt the urge to ride the city bus. He carried his big family Bible with him, and he would shake it at people, and he would preach at them. And one Saturday night, he got on the bus, and this guy comes stumbling up the steps. He was obviously had been drinking. And the guy sat down, and the preacher saw this was a perfect opportunity. And he walked over to the guy, and he shook his Bible at him and said, you're going to hell. And the guy said, oh, man, I'm on the wrong bus again. You know, the world doesn't need to be told it's going to hell. It needs to be told how to get to heaven. And that's where you come in. If you're a Christ follower, that's where God wants to insert you in his story so that your life can make a difference for someone who is far from Christ. At one point in your life, if you're a Christian here this morning, at one point in your life, you were far from God, right? Something changed. Someone shared their faith. Maybe it was in a Sunday school room. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was something on television. I don't know. We all have different experiences, right? But John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Will you accept that? If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you accept that? Because God does not want to see anyone perish, but it is your choice to receive Jesus so that you have the hope of eternal life. If you are a Christian, will you share it? Will you share that truth? That God does not want anyone to perish. You know for certain for yourself, I have eternal life as a promise, and I want you to have that as well. Everybody in this room has one of two decisions to make this morning. Let's stand together. Let's sing with the worship team.